One of the things that is amazing about awareness and stable awareness is that you see where everyone is at, even though they may be totally blind to it. And so a statement like life is one disappointing event after another, that's really true. That's what you're seeing. However, it doesn't have any stickiness. You're not wrapped up in it. Otherwise, you're not wrapped up in that perception. Otherwise, that would be called clinical depression. And so, unfortunately, that perception, it's just too painful for most people to even encounter as something that is stirring within themselves, so they try to gloss it over with something, find some kind of antidote to make it better. The reality of life the way it is that whether a person is young or old or in between, it's really important for them to find something within themselves that they can count on, so that they don't constantly feel that they need some kind of stimulation from something to feel okay, whether it's shopping, pole dancing, or whatever it might be, alcohol, drugs, text messaging, emailing, staying online for hours, whatever it is. These are all dead ends, and to be caught up in a life of the need to be stimulated every moment is the life of a robot, really. And on that uplifting note, it becomes clear why it's so important to have teachings of awareness that are really crystal clear, where people can not only be introduced to awareness, but receive extremely methodical, systematic instruction about how to bring that to fruition. It's so important, and it's such an important thing to be sharing with people. It's information that is definitely worth sharing. Now, whether people take to it or not, it's just up to them. But anyone who does take to it, they're really lucky. And they'll be thanking their lucky stars the rest of their life. Because it just becomes clear the older we get how fortunate we are to be aware. It just becomes clear and clear. There's nothing that can stimulate anyone into permanent well-being. No kind of outer activities or even inner activities. So the thoughts, emotions, sensations, they can't be shaped into any form that's going to provide well-being without becoming neutralized and kind of on semi-automatic. And the same with things outside. No matter how much someone can give their children or how little, neither of these situations can give a child well-being or take it away from them. The only place a person can ever find well-being is within themselves, and a parent can do a great deal to make sure that the ground is laid for the child, mostly in their own example. Monkey see, monkey do. Have you ever heard that? When the big monkeys say, the little monkeys do. When the big monkeys do, the little monkeys do. Does anyone have a question they'd like to ask?
We were talking on the way out here, and I was just wanting to understand the conversation about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like, from what you're describing, that leadership is an imbued quality of perfect mental stability. Because you say that if we're resting and we're gaining familiarity with that and we have perfect mental stability, then we can lead ourselves and understand our gifts and strengths and talents and then find those in other people. So am I correct in understanding that it's an imbued quality of perfect mental stability?
Of awareness. Just of awareness that by gaining confidence and awareness, becoming familiar with awareness first, then gaining confidence in it. In that way, we take leadership of ourselves. We're no longer just being batted around by our thoughts and emotions and impulses to act. And so, you know, we become aware. That's why it's called awareness, by the way. We become aware, just aware of everything. Aware of everything about ourselves. Aware of everything about others. Aware of our environment. Totally aware of our environment. Awareness is the total integration of everything. That's what it is. And so we're no longer cut off from the whole. And in that way, we have leadership of ourselves. And we can be aware of what's true about us, like what our strengths, gifts, and talents are, and then also how we can contribute them. And once we're aware of that within ourselves, then we can draw it out in others. We're not just aware of our strengths, gifts, and talents. We can see what the strengths, gifts, and talents are of other people as well. And we can support them, if they want to, in taking leadership of those gifts within themselves. Now, not everyone wants to. You may have noticed that. But if they do, it's a wonderful way to be in relationship with people, to just be totally aware. Because it makes everything so much easier and more practical. For example, if, say, you're living with other people and you're just kind of wrapped up in your own world mostly, which is the way it is if your thoughts, emotions, sensations are compelling to you and you're just kind of acting on automatic, on impulse based on all these neuroanatomical fireworks going off within your head, and then your other physical anatomical events going on, then you're not really here. If you're just all wrapped up in that, there's no way to really see what's going on in your environment or to really care. Now, if you're just aware, awareness is just bare and naked, and you're just aware all the time, then when you're living with other people, you really see what's going on in a natural way. Like if someone needs help, you can just help in a natural way. If there are things that need to be done in the kitchen and you just want to help in a natural way, or other things going on in the household, chores that need to be taken care of, there's no more drudgery. It's just an even, open flow of people participating harmoniously together without any big to-do about getting things done. And this is what one of the things that people notice throughout the world about the Great Freedom Community in these areas of the world where we have many, many people coming together, like in India and Europe, people are stunned when they come to live among the Great Freedom Community for a while, because and most of us who are in the Great Freedom Community realize this too, that life just is so good. It's so good and it's so easy. And this all comes from individuals taking leadership of themselves, and it becomes possible to just participate together in a harmonious way where there aren't any airs going on and there's just a flow of everyone getting everything done for the benefit of all. And there's a real sweetness about it and a warmth. It's moving beyond being dumbed down by everything that's going on and just opening up into the true warmth that is possible among people and the true connection that is really possible among people. It's really amazing that this is what we're all made of. This is what we're all made of. And so you see, once you realize that about yourself, then you can share that with others. What else would anyone do? It's a natural part of realizing it in yourself to want to share it with others. And even though you might be involved in a lot of other activities that are very important and contribute a lot, you'll at least see how important it is for some people to, at least, to be sharing this. There have to be more and more people who are sharing this, and it's just absolutely essential to human society. There's no other way around it. If we, well, just as an example, in the presidential campaign right now in the United States, we all secretly hope that things will turn out this way. And we all at least secretly hope that we'll have leaders come to the fore, like presidential leaders, who have this kind of leadership quality within themselves and can elicit it in others. We at least secretly hope that. And no matter how many times our hopes have been dashed, we continue to secretly hope that, at least secretly hope, that our leaders will give us that. And then, you know, right now we can even be less than secretly hopeful. Maybe we can even show a little bit of our hope that this is possible because one of the candidates is so charismatic and so eloquent that we can say, oh, you know, maybe the Savior is here. Maybe we finally have a leader who has tapped into these qualities within themselves, and they can somehow make us whole. This is what we're really voting on. It's all wrapped up in our emotional points of view and having very childlike hopes. And that we hope these things can be fulfilled by someone else, but they won't be. When we build up heroes in this way, and unless we've taken leadership within ourselves, we can't really see what anyone else is made of. We can't. We'll be clueless about what other people are made of. So people can be charismatic or eloquent, and we might go along with what they're saying, just hoping that they can perform some magical act for us of unifying and bringing everyone together. But unless we have taken leadership of ourselves, we won't really be able to assess whether someone else can do that or not. And no matter how charismatic and eloquent anyone is, a person who is aware can see right into that person. They can see everything about them. They can see where all the loopholes are. And they can see what's going to bring them down if they do get into the position they're hoping for. And so you see there are... It's to be aware is to be fully cognizant. That's what it means. It's not to be aware isn't some kind of airy fairy blissed out state of some kind of creationist ideal. It really is not. To be aware is to be fully human and fully alive. It's to take a stand for what being human is. It's not some kind of wimpy, passive attitude. It's taking complete responsibility for your own humanness and your own human nature, saying, this is who I am, and I take a stand for this. I take a stand for it in myself, and if anyone else is willing, open to my, if anyone else is open to my contribution, then I will support that in them too. It's to be a true revolutionary. It really is. All of the things that are being hoped for in the presidential election, all those things we can find within ourselves, the unity, the wholeness. We can't have unity among all people until we each have unity within ourselves. It is impossible. No one can work that kind of magic. It's impossible. It's impossible for a person to unify people who are not whole within themselves. We have to be whole within ourselves before we can be unified as a human society. I wrote this definition of awareness this morning. Awareness is the uncontrived, naturally present action that combines things to make a whole. What could be easier? You know, just by that, so we're always looking for some kind of activity, political organizing that's going to make everything whole. Or some kind of great negotiation that's going to take place at the world level. Peace negotiations whereby all people will become peaceful. These ideas cannot work. We have to be whole within ourselves, and the only way we can be whole within ourselves is to be aware. So awareness is the uncontrived, naturally present action that combines things to make a whole. It can't be contrived. We can't set ourselves about getting into all kinds of contrived political organizing or political or social ideals. These things cannot make us whole. We can only become whole by being whole within ourselves, and that is completely uncontrived. It's simply steadfast awareness moment by moment until it becomes automatic. Steadfast awareness is many moments as we can muster each day until it falls into sync with itself. We haven't been aware because we haven't noticed awareness as the basis of our perceptions. But when we train ourselves just a little bit through short moments of awareness repeated many times, then we become more and more aware. Our eyes open up. All of our sensory mechanisms open up to the wholeness that already is, that everything already is integrated into a whole. We just don't notice it until we become aware. And once we become aware, we don't need to get into any starch descriptions of what that is. Oh, everything is oneness, everything is wholeness. You don't even need to talk about stuff like that. It's just awareness never lights anywhere. it doesn't become wholeness, it doesn't become separation, it doesn't become nature's intelligence, it doesn't become any particular thing. It doesn't need to light down anywhere in any kind of starched description of the way things are. And this is what awareness is. It's natural, it's ordinary, it's already integrated into a whole, so there's nothing that needs to come about to make it whole. And so you see, the only way in human society for us to have this peace we seek, this unity and wholeness, is for individuals to become whole. There's no mastermind who can bring about unity among humans, or unity among or within human society, by working some kind of miraculous act, political act or social act. It just can't happen. So that's the way it is. That's the reality. So those are the kinds of questions people need to be asking these candidates. It needs to be a real acid test of what people are about and exactly how capable they are of fulfilling the promises they're making. Because we all long to recognize our wholeness. When we hear about it as an ideal coming about as a political or social ideal, it's easy to be swayed by what's being said. And so if we really want to feel politically and socially hopeful, then we have to look within ourselves first. We have to see how we've engaged in divisiveness within ourselves by deciding that some mental events are un-okay and other mental events are okay. We need to really just allow ourselves to be aware and to see if any of these mental events have any power at all. Can't we at least see if that's true within ourselves? Just by being aware repeatedly, finding that bastion of complete comfort and relief within ourselves, going to that repeatedly, rather than to our fiction of dictionary definitions of what we take ourselves to be, like angry, sad, depressed, happy, joyful, gleeful, work day, holiday, all these things that we're looking for to try to boost us up a little bit. Oh, if I just didn't have to work today and I could surf all day, or if I just didn't have to toil at this job to make money and I had money, or if I had money, if I just had more money, or, you know, whatever these things might be, we have to see that within ourselves there is no division, that whether we think holiday or work day, both of these thoughts are equally insubstantial. They have no substance. If you really look at the thought holiday or work day and then look at the kind of torture you might put yourself through by using the description work day and then elaborating on that within yourself, it's really pretty amazing, because the concept holiday or work day, if you really examine the arising of those within you and look at them, where are they? Well, first of all, you can't find any place that a holiday or work day is. There isn't anywhere that a holiday or work day is as a substantial, independent thing that has power to affect your well-being. By just being aware and saying, well, do these concepts have any kind of power to limit me in any way? Do they have a power to restrict me? Does the concept holiday or work day actually have the power to make me have a good day or a bad day? Really look at these things within yourselves. It's only through monkey see, monkey do that you may have come to believe that these ideas have a way to affect your well-being. And the same with emotions, whatever they might be. To be beyond emotions does not mean to be emotionless. But if in the arising of emotions you choose awareness rather than spinning out into emotional states or all kinds of thoughts that are elaborating what's going on, if you just remain aware moment by moment, you start to see that all of these events, emotions, thoughts, sensations, that they don't have a power to affect the stability of what you are. They don't have the power to affect the innate stability of who you are. It's impossible. They affect you only if you have a story that says this affects me. Otherwise, they don't affect you. And that is not to be emotionless. To be beyond emotion means to be free of the limit and range of the descriptive frameworks of emotion. It means to be fully emotional and fully alive. It means to be able to experience emotion in a full-bodied way and a wholly embodied way, rather than in this fragmented way of trying to sort out all the emotions and understand what they mean. When you're not afraid of any emotion anymore, you're just enjoying stable awareness, then no matter what emotion comes, you're not trying to protect or defend against it or get more of it. Do you see what I'm saying? You're not saying, oh, I want less depression and I want more joy. I want a lot less anxiety. I'm going to keep those anxiety tigers at bay and I'm going to have some soft little puppy dogs jump in my lap of happiness. When you don't need to create some kind of fictitious existence out of all the descriptions, then you don't have a need to try to control all your states any longer. You can, at some point, you're just sitting there totally aware, and you can even say, bring them on. You know, I'm not afraid of anything, any emotion, I'll willingly go there. Any thought? What is there in a thought to be afraid of? Bring them on. Start cranking them out. You know, let the cortices do their work, and they're just going at it. The thoughts are reflecting everything that's going on, so are the emotions. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's just a bunch of activity and awareness. It's the dynamic energy of nature's intelligence. There's nothing to be afraid of. The stability is in realizing through awareness that there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing at all to be afraid of. It's... If you get sick, you can either do nothing and die at some point, or you can take heroic measures and try to save your life and die at some point. Either way you go, you're going to be okay. So you see your choices open up because you're not so compelled to act just because you don't know what else to do. And your perspective about what it means to be alive and dead radically changes. Because you realize in gaining confidence and awareness that it's impossible for death to occur other than as a point of view. So the point of view of death might occur, but it's not the end of the world, folks, so to speak. The intelligence by which we are aware of everything goes on. there's no end to it. There won't ever will be. There won't ever be an end to it. And so that by which we're aware of everything, it doesn't have. It's unborn. Because it's unborn, it never really does. So we can either rely on that or on the same old crazy-making stories. It's up to us. If we want to whip ourselves up into a foam about our thoughts and emotions, then we will. Or our sensations, then we will. If we want to gain confidence in the stability that exists within ourselves, really the profound stability, then we can do that too. But it's up to us. There isn't anything that can give us that, no matter how much we might try to have mental stability through any kind of means, whether it's brain surgery, chemicals, whether they're legal or illegal, whatever it might be, it's never going to happen. We won't be able to have stability. We probably won't even be able to have a fleeting moment of stability by any of these means. So why not rely on what gives total stability? It gives total stability no matter what situation we're in. That's what we really want to count on. Nothing else is worth the time. It's as simple as that. Awareness isn't a cut-off state. It's an expression of total connection, a super complete, unconditional connection with everything. So there's no way to ever be more connected. And the need for connection is subsumed in awareness. So the need to demand that certain people provide you with a sense of connection, for example, it's subsumed in awareness, and that broadens your opportunities for relating, by the way, because you're no longer demanding that certain people give it to you, like your sympathetic attachments. Whether if they give it to you, great. If they don't give it to you, well, just the way it is. But it doesn't affect your well-being. It's just the way it is. And you see that more and more. You see more and more that everything that goes on within you is just the way it is. And everything that seems to be external, that's just the way it is too. There's no big to-do about it. And if we want to talk about leadership, which we've been talking about quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, then we really need to have an ultimate definition of leadership. What it means for us to take leadership of ourselves, to take responsibility for ourselves, and what that might look like, really look like, in terms of society in general, human society in general.
Excuse me, Candace, can I ask a little question?
Sure.
Somebody I know is involved in a group which is a high school and college age educational program. One of the criteria that they use for this global leadership direction for young people is whether things are sustainable or unsustainable, regardless of, you know, where you are on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they're using as a common denominator to encourage these young people to mm-hmm. see things in a coherent, unified way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does this ring any bells with you in terms of leadership?
Well, it does in that we all have to be self-sustaining through our own contributions. So, you know, some of that It has to come from each person being self-sustaining. Say we had sustainability in terms of a lot of physical factors related to life, no matter what they might be. But human society was still unhappy. How would things be improved? And so this is what we're seeing today, that even though there's a lot of headway being made in terms of scientific and technological advancement, how happy are people? How connected are people? How much is human society capable of bringing unity and peace about? These are the questions we really need to be asking, and that is an inside job. And so that's what I mean by being self-sustaining. It's an inside job. First, we have to find sustainability within ourselves. We have to see how we can sustain ourselves throughout an entire day with total mental stability. That's what being self-sustaining is. And so you see, it's very easy to test in ourselves. We can see whether we're self-sustaining or not, right? Anyone can see this. You can see whether you're able to sustain yourself in awareness all day, or exactly how much of the day, to what degree you can. And this is the only way for true sustainability to come about. It has to be rooted there. It has to be rooted in a true understanding of what sustainability means. We hope that by manipulating our external environment, somehow we'll be able to bring about unity and wholeness. But that can't happen. As long as people aren't whole within themselves, there are going to be gross aberrations within human society. And we see this very markedly today with the advent of world terrorism. Terrorism has gone from being an isolated event in a country that is removed from the West, this is from a Western perspective, to being everywhere. Everyone is affected by terrorism now, and everyone knows that it could happen at any moment. Biological warfare, germ warfare, some kind of strange bomb slipped into a harbor somewhere, a nuclear weapon that destroys a large percent of the population. And so you see, until we really take responsibility for our means of being self-sustaining within ourselves, of really making ourselves whole, then we can't really unify human society. It's impossible. And these physical factors will never bring that kind of inner stability about. So even though we might be able to stabilize the external environment in some ways, and we have been able to in certain ways, it can never bring that about in a human being. It's an inside job. So now see, we can tell also from this talk that it's a very helpful talk, because what it states is that we as human beings are able to bring about peace. We really are. And it's not a matter of abandoning our responsibility to a heroic figure. We took to take responsibility. How willing are we to make peace? How willing are we to end the war within ourselves? How willing are we to just rest in peace, to abide in the peaceful part of what we are that pervades everything? How willing are we to take notice of that, to acknowledge that we have perfect stability in ourselves, and to demand that of ourselves? How willing are we to do that? And so see, this is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. we as human society are able to bring about peace. But it's not going to happen at some negotiation table in a palace somewhere or a seat of government that is going to bring it about for everyone. It can't happen that way. We each have to take responsibility, and we have the means to do that today at the grassroots level. People talking to each other, supporting each other worldwide. And so these are the means we can use, and whether you call them political, social, or something else, they are what they are. They really do work to bring about stability within people, and they really do work to bring about stability within human society. If we want it, we can have it. But it's up to you and it's up to me. We have to stand tall, really suck it up and see what we're made of. You know, get real, rather than continuing to hope that some kind of a magician is going to show up who's going to make everything all right. We're the magician. We're the only magician we have. It's a real reckoning, and it's a real rallying cry too. It really is, because I know just in this room alone, let alone to all the people that hear these talks, there are people who have felt extremely disturbed within themselves in one way or another, and have come completely into mental stability and wholeness. So anyone who has done that, you know what I'm talking about. And you know that this is the only way to have world peace, too. It can't happen in any other way. There can't be world peace as long as you're still hunting and destroying anyone or anything within yourself or outside of yourself. It's a real test of maturity, isn't it? It is a real test of maturity. Real maturity. Truly real maturity. No more hiding out. No more playing small. Standing up saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm taking responsibility for. Whether other people do it or not, that's not my business. I'll take responsibility for it. Then maybe if I take responsibility for it, I can help a few others take responsibility for it.